Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Well, good evening, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the show. I am Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is Mud Toe at Midnight, broadcasting live from my very large, I guess I can call it very large city in the Midwest United States. It's Columbus, Ohio. Just tell you, it's Columbus, Ohio. Why be coy? We are still snow-covered here in Columbus, digging our way out from Tuesday's snowstorm, which I got to drive home from work in. That was a highly spiritual experience. Much prayer, much communing with the spirit happening as I navigated my way back to my apartment. All's well that ends well, I guess, but I did see many people who were experiencing difficulties during that. So lots of cars pulled off to the side and flashing lights and so forth. And of course, my prayers go out to them. I hope that they found the help that they needed and that they found a warm place to stay and rest from the evening's excitement. For my part, I came home and popped a bag of microwave popcorn and kicked back and watched some YouTube, but it's just not the kind of thing where you can walk into your apartment and walk into your room, go to bed and say, okay, well, that's something that happened. It's very stressful. I think I found it to be, I wrote a post about it, said, I believe it is the most terrified I have ever been behind the wheel of an automobile. And the power of nature just becomes so evident. You know, which obviously it's all around us all the time, but I think we're most of us, anyway, I'll speak for myself. I am very good at ignoring it. Nature is just a thing, and I appreciate it every once in a while. But when the raw power of nature is displayed for us, and not even in a particularly audacious way, just in snow falling from the sky. Happened to fall particularly quickly this time and piled up faster than our machines could clear it away. And the snow is still here, and I mean it's going to be until the temperature rises and gives it a chance to melt away. All of this reminding me that I meant to put some salt on the steps out in front of my apartment, and I neglected to do that. Although I have read that below 20 degrees Fahrenheit, I would imagine, that the salt is ineffective. But it is Saturday, and we still do have U.S. mail delivery on Saturday. And I certainly don't want to wreck my mailman or my mail person or my person. So I really should, at the end of this episode, so remind me before we get off the air here that before I go to bed, I need to slip my shoes back on and get the salt out and put that on the steps. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I've got a call holding, actually two. I know who one of the people is. I don't know who the other person is. It's very unusual for me to have a call. Typically, I haven't solicited calls in the past. I just noticed here listening to my open that I do give the call-in number. This show is sort of atypical for shows on withinsights.com that I don't really do readings. Now the person has disappeared. They just heard me say it. I was that had its desired. My last announcer there had its desired effect. The moment I said I don't really do readings, that caller disappeared. So sorry, I don't really want to discourage people. But although I did one time, I had a caller come in and ask me. It really wasn't a reading question. It was a relationship question, which really isn't what you want to ask me about either. But it did lead to a very nice conversation, just sort of about the way that males and females relate to each other. So it did turn out well. And I do still have one more call holding, and this is a very familiar name. This is my boss at With Insights, Chief Iggy Garcia. And so I really should not leave him waiting. So I'm going to try, and I'm very famously bad with this technology. I'm going to see if I can select the correct button to bring him on the air. Okay, here we go.
Hey.
Mr. Mandriotti, is that you?
That is me. How's it
How
going,
are you,
kid?
Sir?
Doing all right?
I'm doing okay. Today's been a little bit of a struggle, but I've gotten to the end of it, and this show was at the end of it, and I knew this show was at the end of it, and I was going to do my thing and share my spirituality in the way that in a very, very unusual way, but a way that that I've really come to appreciate. And
very
I'm
good.
Very, very glad that you called, sir. What can I do for you?
No, I just called in to say hello and see how you were. I don't get to see you as much as I used to. But, yeah, I just wanted to listen to see what you had to say today, and I was tuning in. Cause,
great.
I miss my friend, and I just wanted to see what
you
had to say, what you were going to share.
And I miss you very much, too. I miss everybody, and I'm going to miss the event on Sunday, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. We're going
to
miss you then.
I have to work, so unfortunately, I'll be with you in spirit. There's a drumming event for the audience at home. It's at I can mention it, can't I, Iggy?
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, half the world may show up if I mention it because I have such a huge audience. But it's at Ash Cave, right?
Correct.
Drumming event at Ash Cave, and that's near. It's not Peebles. Peebles is the other one. What's the town?
It's the Hocking Hills near Old Man's
Hocking
Cave.
Hocking Hills, that's right. Near Old Man's Cave. Yes, it is a highly impressive site. It's the type of cave it would have been carved out by a glacier, probably, wouldn't it? Do you know those details? How
yeah,
that cave was actually...
Actually, it was carved out by the ocean.
Okay.
It's a lot older than I thought. It also glaciers as well. It's a mix of the two, from what my understanding.
It's just scooped out of the side of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of this concave, I guess cave being concave, and it's immense. And you get people with drums in there, and it starts echoing off those walls, and it's just amazing. And there's a waterfall, and you can climb up on top of the thing, although I've never had the guts to do it yet. But you can sort of go up there and test your nerve and look over the edge. And it's always a great time. Of course, in this
Absolutely.
Particular one, it's very cold, and then I get to go and complain about how cold it is. Unfortunately, this time I won't because I'm going to be working. But I did go to the last one. When was the last one, September?
The last one was, let's see. Yeah, it was in the fall sometime. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It goes so fast.
Yeah.
We do one every. Try to do one every quarter.
Mm-hmm. I remember dragging your kit through the sand. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you and I went together on the last one, or we met up, one of the two.
Mm-hmm. And you had your various drums and shamanistic equipment in sort of plastic tote bins. And we mm-hmm. had those on a cart, and that worked pretty well as long as we were on the... on the paved, on the sidewalk, and then on the trail was okay. But you know the floor of the cave is sand, and the cart didn't look so good, and we had to pick it up and carry it, and it wasn't too far though. We got it to where it needed to be, and it was that was quite a day. I really enjoyed that a lot. And I tried to focus on the audio more. I think the previous time I went, I took my video camera and
mm-hmm.
got, you know, that kind of information. And this time I just brought a sound recorder and just recorded a lot of the drumming from different places. And then I found that kind of focused me on the event in a different way, the sound as opposed to the visuals.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I love going to that thing. I'm really looking forward to it. It's... time to release some old trapped energies and recycle it back to the universe, man.
Well, will you take some of mine with you?
Yeah, just put in a bag and I'll carry it for you.
I'll put it in a bag and send that over to you. If you can just take that dash cave for me and release it, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, just give it to Katie and we'll do their work.
Did Katie ever get dug out?
You know, I don't know. I haven't heard anything since, but I'm sure she has at some point. Well, I just called in to say hello, my friend. You know, I mean, I don't want to interrupt your show too much. I know I'm gonna. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna hang up, unless you want me to stick around. But
I have, you know me. I've got loads of important things to talk about. But if you feel you must go.
No, but I'm gonna listen to you. I'm gonna listen to you on the web link.
Okay. Yeah, that's like a new thing, right? The web link, or how long has that been in place for a while?
Yeah, it's been there. I guess when we're doing our shows, we really don't see it. So. But,
yeah. Okay.
It's there. That way I save minutes on my Skype. But, you know.
Is that the iHeartRadio thing?
No, this is actually, it's on the website. It's on the website itself with insights.com. It takes you to the blog talk. It links back to it. So it's pretty cool.
Well, let me know how it works, and I'll start promoting it on the show.
Yep. Sounds good, my friend. I'm going to listen to you on the other side.
Yeah, and we will see you real soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty then. That was Chief Iggy Hoop Watcher, also known as Thundering Forebears. He's the leader of our local Neminha spiritual group here in Columbus. And it's nice of him to give a call and help me absorb some of this half an hour and make it less necessary for me to go through Yahoo and Facebook to find something to talk about. Actually, the past week has been rather eventful. We had the Super Bowl, of course, and I was, most of my life I've been a pretty fanatical devotee of the Super Bowl and, of course, the NFL that stands behind it. But finding in recent years, it's not quite so important to me. But I did want to, I mean, it's still a big event, and I missed it last year. I was home, and I don't have television at home, so I kind of watched updates on the ESPN website. So I knew what was going on, but I didn't watch the show, and I found I missed it. So this year I made a sort of an effort. I apologize. I have messages coming in, and I check the messages, and then my brain goes there, and I can't talk anymore. I'm not very good at the old multitasking thing. Okay. So the Super Bowl, yes, I was watching it. I went home because I had to go somewhere. I went to see it with my brother and my mom and pop. And we sat, and by God, we watched that Super Bowl. And it was not good, but it was a throwback very much to my younger days. It was very nostalgic because when I was a younger man, the Super Bowl was terrible every year. And you got to sort of appreciate the terribleness of the Super Bowl and begin to make comparisons. Now, was, you know, the Chicago killing the Patriots Super Bowl worse than the Giants killing the Bills Super Bowl? You know, which one of those was more of a domination or less of a quality sort of competition? And that debate just hasn't existed here lately because the games have been, if not, there's a difference. Some games are good and some games are close. I've been drinking too much root beer. A game that's close isn't necessarily good. It can be poorly played and still close. There was a Super Bowl a few years back with Seattle and Pittsburgh. It was just an endless comedy of errors, but it was a very close game. It was a competitive game, just not very well played. This one was, it's more of your old school Super Bowl, just a domination of one side over the other. And it sort of points out to me, I've just become less and less enamored with playoff systems. And, you know, the NCAA football is finally getting their playoff system in a sense next year. And now I'm wondering if that's really what they wanted. You know, I've been as unkind to the BCS system as anyone probably. I don't particularly like that system either. But I think that there's rewarding the team who wins the last game with the championship doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. Now, the whole playoff thing, it goes back to the baseball, which was really the first big time professional sport here in the States. Maybe anywhere. I haven't done that research, but I know the first game played for money and played as a business here in the States was baseball. And there were two rival leagues, the American League and the National League. And there was the American League and the National League, and never the twain shall meet. They never played each other. So there was always a very active debate, as you might imagine, which was the better organization. The National League got its name, the Junior Circuit, because it came in. It was sort of the interloper. The National League came in as sort of an alternative to the American League. But then they both, by the turn of the century, the turn of the 20th century, they both ended up being pretty much the same thing we have now, which is a bunch of very wealthy men, not necessarily baseball people, running franchises as a business. Well, making me drink my lemonade here. But there was this desire, maybe from the fan standpoint, a desire to know who was best. But it's probably, you know, the driving force from a business standpoint is, of course, that they were going to make some cash off of it. And so they started at the end of every year, of course, putting the American League champion and the National League champion together. And they called it the World Series, boys and girls. And even now, it should be now even, maybe now even doesn't work. But anyway, the World Series even is now polluted. Does that work? I don't know. That's just weird. But what I meant to say is, you know, there's not a pure American League, National League separation anymore because the teams from two leagues play each other occasionally. You get the Cleveland Indians and the Cincinnati Reds playing each other, or the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers playing each other, the two Los Angeles teams playing each other, the two New York teams playing each other. And I think that's good, but you sort of lose you begin to lose. I don't know if there are enough of those games to really mess it up, but you lose the purity of that competition, really even the need for that competition at the end, because even if, you know, the American League champion won 140 games and the National League champion only won 90 games, you could still say, well, that could be a difference in the level of competition in the league. And you really don't know until the American League champion plays the National League champion. Now you really, it's sort of even, that line is even blurred because there's interleague play. And in the other sports, there's sort of always been, in the NFL, there's always been the interleague play. There used to be the two leagues and then they merged. The hockey and the basketball have never had it. There's just been about half, actually a little bit more than half the teams make the playoffs, but they're split between East and West, which isn't terribly logical. I know it's a desire to try and pull in fans from all over the country to the championship contest. But I wonder, I guess when you see a contest like the Super Bowl and it becomes the rule that it's terrible, and then you go to other, I don't know, I can't even remember how, because I haven't followed that closely, how recent NBA championships have gone, recent NHL championships have gone, but it seems that when you say, okay, we're just going to take a team from the East and a team from the West and put them together, you're just inviting a bad result, a not entertaining result, a lopsided result, or a sloppy result, because there's nothing guaranteeing that you've gotten the two best teams out of that scenario. I'd say about the closest thing to that pure competition that exists now is probably the NCAA tournament, because it's a single elimination, 64 teams. You got to win five in a row to get to the championship game, so if you win five in a row, you're probably pretty good. But even that one, they don't reseed. You know, if two top seeds have to lose early, then the game to get into the national championship could be two low seeds, and then the other game could be two high seeds, and that hardly seems fair. And you're likely to get a bad matchup at the end. But the driving force is money. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you really need. You don't necessarily need playoffs anymore. But But the system has come to depend on those playoffs to generate revenue. So we have them, and we're likely to have them for some time going forward, especially the Super Bowl, which is such an orgasm of capitalism. I did see the Coca-Cola commercial. I didn't think much of the crop of commercials this year. I did like the Coca-Cola commercial, and of all the ones that were on, I was frankly shocked that that was the one that that resulted in some controversy. There are things that I just shake my head sometimes. I mean, what? You know, people who speak a different language other than English aren't allowed to think America is beautiful, or are they just not allowed to sing it? Some sort of claim of ownership of a land that none of us really belong to. Even the first peoples came here over the land bridge. You know, they didn't just appear here. About the only people who can claim that sort of God put us here type of ownership would be Africans, because that's where everybody started out. But you know, none of us belong here. None of our ancestors sprang to life here. We all came from someplace else. And even the language that's at the center of the country, the English doesn't belong to this place. It came from Europe. It developed in Europe. It was brought here by someone else. And English is a foreign language. English is an interloping language in this land. It's a language that came here and drove out the languages that had been here longer, and then drove out the other languages that Europeans have brought in here and established itself as the dominant, along with I don't know that people of English extraction actually established themselves as dominant, but the language became the language that everybody spoke. Given the whole Ellis Island thing that happened about 100 years later, where there was an invasion of people, mostly European people, but also Asian people, and who came over here. But there was a mass adoption of English as the standard language. And I think there's some pushback against that now. I don't know how much of it there is, but I know that here in our city there was, up until very recently, a Somali language television station. And I don't know if that's something – it's gone now. It's not where it used to be. I can't pick it up on the television that I have access – the only place I really have access to television is the house where I work. I work with developmentally disabled people in a group home. And the only place I can really watch, because I don't have it at home, and I don't get to go to Iggy's place anymore, is his restaurant. But the only place I can watch television is at work. And the Somali station isn't where it used to be. I don't know whether it's just been moved to a place on the spectrum that I can't pick up on their cable, because they don't have the whole shebang cable. They have kind of the minimum. Or whether it's disappeared. And I think it would be a shame if it had disappeared, not because the programming was so high quality. I mean, I think it appeared to me to be something that had been imported from Somalia. Either that, or someone was doing it here with a very old video camera, because today even the kind of the cheapest video cameras that you buy are pretty close to broadcast quality. They're HD, and this was not great video. I mean, certainly not up to. I mean, it was. I'd say it was like 1980s home video, you know, VHSC type quality or 8mm tape. Analog quality video, and mostly it was news or people singing and dancing, and then there was a crawl down below which stated events that were happening here in Columbus. And I think it's a celebration of the strength of our country that things like that, you know, that things like that can exist and be celebrated, and we realize that that's not a threat to our strength, that our strength arises from that, from our, you know, e pluribus unum, out of many one, that we can have our different backgrounds and languages and still be strong as a whole. And I realize, and frankly, I mean, this whole flap over the Coca-Cola commercial demonstrates it, not everybody feels that way. And I guess that's okay. I think that feeling, everyone's entitled to their opinion, everyone's entitled to their feelings. For myself, it demonstrates a fundamental misunderstanding of what our country is all about. You know, because none of us, as I said, none of us is a native here. Even the first peoples didn't spring into existence here. They came from someplace else. We're all adopted. We're all adopted. Everybody in America is an adopted American. We all came from someplace else. And there's absolutely no reason for one group of people to think that they have any more of an ownership of this culture than anyone else does. There's just no logic behind it other than the logic of force. It's, yes, we are here in greater numbers, and we can push you aside if we want to. And that's – I don't really have a good way to wind that up except to say that that's unfortunate. What else can we talk about today? We've got about 4 minutes left. I actually have yakked quite a bit, so that's good. Yakking is good. I yak, and the show gets over with, and I can go to bed. Except, what do I have to do before I go to bed? Do you remember, boys and girls? What do I have to do? That's right. I have to go and salt the steps so that the U.S. Postal Service doesn't break their neck in the morning when they come. Well, they won't come in the morning. They'll come until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm expecting a check. I'm expecting a check from Ohio State, and it's going to make me very happy. Here's a – I just got my brain taken away here. Here's a post from my cousin JR, who's posting me on Facebook and distracting me. He says, why do we even need to be separate nations? Why can't we just be one people? But I understand it can't really happen that way. Well, yeah, I would agree with that. I do hope that someday there will be some sort of meeting of the minds, but there'll probably be many generations that pass before that happens. JR also appreciated my turn of a phrase there about the Super Bowl being an orgasm of capitalism. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hopefully my witticisms like that will one day be appreciated by a much, much larger audience as my book creeps towards completion, and I will obviously keep you all apprised of that and what's going on with that. I'm kind of stuck on one story I'm writing right now that I know what the ending is going to be, and I'm having trouble getting to it. I write it, and then I read what I wrote. I said, this is shit. I don't like this. And, I mean, even more so, I never really like what I write. I don't think that I've captured what it was I wanted to say most of the time. But in this case, it's just like I'm thinking it's too long. I need to get to this thing at the end. It's not just because I know the ending better and I want to get there and I'm going to feel on stronger ground, although those things are true. I'm feeling I'm just taking too long to get to the end. That people are going to be reading it and think of the way I react to things. Like, come on, get to the point. What are you doing? What's all this stuff you're saying? Get to the point. And so I'm telling myself that as I'm writing it, is to write less. Don't put as many words there. And no, they need to know all this. No, it's eternal war. The eternal war. It's the two wolves. It's the two wolves eternally in battle in the old Native American story. And which one will survive? The one that I feed. And unfortunately, neither of them are going to get fed. I'll probably eat it myself. But anyway, we're down to our final moments together this evening. I want to thank you for listening, hoping that you enjoyed it, even if you didn't. Oh, I've got a comment from Iggy. Awesome show. Wow, I'm just feeling the love today. And you feel the love tonight. Oh, that's copyrighted material. I'm probably going to get sued now. Once again, thank you for joining me. You can find me here on Friday nights, midnight Eastern time, and I will just talk like this, and hopefully I will hit on something you enjoy or maybe something that makes you think a little bit. I don't really know how to end shows, so this is just how I'm going to do it. I'm going to say good night and pleasant dreams, and hear from you next week. Bye-bye.